bit of a different format again tonight. Not so much a dialogue and trying to get folks to talking back and forth and answering as much as having a meeting of sharing related to our summer celebration of Christmas and your ways of sharing, of celebrating Christmas that might be different, alternative ways of celebrating, ways that are geared toward, away from the what we seem to very clearly identify as the abuse of a Christmas celebration, with the commercialism and the rush and piling stuff all over ourselves, to that way that keeps central the gift that is the Christ and the gift that we are to one another, and especially to those who are in need. So it's thought that this evening would be a chance for folks who are interested in sharing what they do and hearing what others do to get together and chat for a while about it. I have no idea how many kinds of sharings there might be or might not be, so we start off with risk, and that's fine with me. A reminder of the books that Sue, I think it was Sue Kirsten, mentioned this morning that relate to this, the Alternate Christmas Catalog. Be glad to pass that around so you can look at it if you haven't had a chance to see it, which deals with that in a number of ways. Pretty obvious that if you can relook at it, you have to pass this around this way for those who haven't seen it. And Alternate Celebrations Catalog, which has some Christmas and other kinds of celebration in it, suggesting ways, again, to simplifying and keeping it focused on where writers think it would be and where you as Christians think it ought to be. It's a nice little track, too, that I hadn't seen before from the forward movement in Cincinnati on the celebration of smallness that you might be interested to pass that around. And I hope they'd come back here so we can get them back into the library. I went to a further risk. I didn't arrange for somebody to lead off with a nice, good illustration of alternate celebration of Christmas. So I'm willing to risk it and ask if somebody is ready to share what they do that might be a little different and as an alternate style. Anyone?
I have one.
Please, go right ahead.
I have to tell it because I didn't know we were going to do this and I just shared it.
Oh, good.
So they're not going to let me get away with that. 2 years ago, I don't know, I guess it was at a time in my life that I was really kind of reanalyzing things, and it was prior to Christmas, and realized the importance of a lot of friends in my life. And so I wrote some Christmas letters about a week or two before Christmas. With the theme that Christmas is a time of remembering and reflecting back, and reflecting back upon that past year, had come to appreciate the gifts I had gotten from them as a friend. And with each letter, I expressed to each of them what they had given to me that year, which may have been some part of their personality or characteristic that had influenced me that past year. And I just kind of shared the importance of that gift that they had given me the past year, and told them that I was thanking God at Christmas for the gift of their friendship. And it was very interesting because it was a therapeutic thing for me to do, but as I was telling Mary, it was incredible the response that I got from the people that received them. Made me feel really good.
Wow. Treat me. Someone else had a hand over here, though. I thought, was there something? Yeah, please. Or did you?
No, I was just saying, I came in late, so I don't know if this is alternative gift giving.
Alternative celebration of any kind, including gift giving.
One year, we were caught at the time for the circle meeting, which is one of those $3 make, bake, or take exchanges, and just hadn't had time to get anything ready, and so we just put a little statement in an envelope and said, this entitles you and a guest of your choice to be our guest for dinner at a time that we can usually agree on. And I think it was one of the gifts that we received most from giving, because the people who received those, in one case it was a widow who then brought her son and daughter, and in the other case it was a widow who brought along another widow, and both of those groups really enjoyed having a chance to get out. We got to know people in our congregation we wouldn't have known otherwise as two very special occasions in an otherwise rather bleak January and February.
Thank you. Someone else? Yes, Nancy?
In the community church that I used to belong to, every year they put on a Christmas festival, much like our art exhibit here, where they had specific ads and projects that the women's circles worked on, but altogether they had different themes, like from different countries, and they invited the whole community to come, and they prepared a cookbook of all their favorite recipes, which they gave out free. No money was taken in, it was just a time for this church to get together and share all of their crafts. And they brought in music groups and letting colleges and high schools bring their choirs over to share music. And it just all went on for a whole weekend to share with the community their gift to the community.
Thank you. Mary?
Well, this is an alternative gift giving, but we have a tradition at our house of I really enjoy collecting Christmas stories and started reading a Christmas story on Christmas Eve to our four children and John. And I thought, as they get older, they're not going to like to do this. But I noticed, you know, as big as they are in their early 20s and late teens, they still lie down on the floor on Christmas Eve and rather enjoy a Christmas story. I will say that Barrington Bunny, our youngest daughter, Kathy, it used to ruin her Christmas. She would just say, yeah, I will come, but please don't read Barrington Bunny. Because I always cry, so please stop reading Barrington Christmas Eve. But it's amazing how many really good Christmas stories there are that a whole family can enjoy.
Thank you. Someone else? Chief.
My wife and I, when we were first married, used to really get bummed out about we enjoyed the gifts, and our immediate families aren't that large, so there weren't a lot of gifts, but it still seemed to take place in the last 2 weeks or so, maybe the last week or so before Christmas Day, when we would travel to see our folks and our families. And so what we've attempted to do in the last 5 years, and it's been really kind of neat, is to still deal with that issue of gifts, but we really start disciplining ourselves right after New Year's Day to start thinking of different and unique gifts that we can give to specific members and friends. And so we end up spending the whole year looking for and wrestling with that whole gift-giving thing. And it makes the gifts that we give much more meaningful to us, and it seems to be much more meaningful to the people who receive them, because many nights we'll just sit up and talk about possibilities, and the possibilities are just endless about what would be a unique gift. And that also seems to take off just a tremendous amount of pressure during December, because we're almost done, even now, for this year.
Thank you. Someone else?
Along with the possibilities, I had some friends once. We had the drought in California, and several of my plants died. And for Christmas, my friends gave me a coupon, and that it would be good for some plants. Not only did they give me the plants, they came in mass one day, dug out the dead plants, which were big, and planted the new plants, and mulched the ground and did the whole thing. And of course, it was a couple months later, past winter, when they came. And I was so happy because all these dead plants were out there, and now I had new plants, and they had good soil. And not only that, we made a fun day of all doing it together.
Someone else? Please.
I don't think they're in here in this session, but there was someone here this week who I heard share that the mother had received this week at Holden as her Christmas gift from her daughter last year.
I would tell a gift to my wife last year, because I don't think she did. neither of us have parents anymore, but there is a widow that is associated with Wittenberg, and she's in her early 80s and getting fairly frail, but still living alone. And so my wife's gift to her was to visit her weekly. And the weekly visit has become Friday night supper. And so at our house, we can go and get her and bring her over. And at times, she'll say, "I don't think that I can make it." Right. And but when she comes, why, she makes it, and she seems to go home with spirits lifted then. So she's become our mother now.
Yes, please.
This is birthday, but one of the neatest birthday presents I got this year was my father waxed my car. And I'm a single person, and my car had been waxed once in 6 years. And I just was one of the things that was never high on my priority list, and I just couldn't face going out waxing the car. But he did it, and it looks almost like a new car. I mean, he waxed it 3 times. Wow.
I've given that for a Christmas gift before.
All right.
But it took me a long time to bring it about.
I've heard of couples who do things for each other that take discipline and training. For instance, a man who enjoyed playing tennis and his wife didn't enjoy playing tennis, but because she knew he enjoyed it, she took lessons and at Christmas said, "Guess what?" And she came out of her tennis shoe. And another husband or wife, I forget which one it was, spoke French and the other didn't. And because the other language was important to the other person, she learned how to speak French, or he did. I forget what the story was. But things like that, or that where your children learn to play a musical instrument or recite something that they've learned, that's very precious to me at Christmas, to say that the kids never believe that when you say, "Why don't you just learn to play a piece on the piano or recite something that you, poem that you learned." You know, they don't think that's a gift, but I think that's important to instill. I'd rather have something that took my child's time than their money, and they don't feel that way often, but I wish they would.
We're way back again. Nancy, go ahead.
My family is going through a little bit of financial trouble for a few years. And
Nancy,
then,
we can't hear you if you're on the
stuff yet. When we were having a little bit of money problems, I guess, this day, that, we got down to where we were looking at what kind of gifts we were giving to one another. And in the same way as Mary was saying, instead of spending a lot of money trying to buy a lot of items, we tried to center on like one thing that would be meaningful to that person or something that they needed. In that sense of gift giving, not something that it has to be very expensive or that it has to be great quantity, but the idea of just something that reflects your love for that person and what that person means to you.
Thank you.
Last Christmas, I team teach with two people who are wonderful. One of them I came to camp with, and the other is a young father who does a lot with his children, and one of his hobbies is to go out and cut wood, since we're all trying to heat our homes more with wood. And about 2 days before Christmas, he pulled up at our house with a whole pickup full of wood, and not only brought it to us, but stacked it for us, and it was really a fantastic gift.
Please.
I had a friend who was overseas and did not send out a Christmas letter at the time, but kept all the Christmas cards they received. And then beginning on New Year's, they took one card each day and then wrote to the person who had sent that card and told them that they were keeping them in their prayers that day and had special devotion centered around them, and sent an epiphany letter then telling that this was good of them. No, it continued on through the year.
Somebody else up above?
My wife just reminded me, and I haven't wanted her to tell it, but she said you do it. This was quite a few years ago when our children were about 12, I guess, 12, 13. And our mothers were quite aged at the time, and we weren't able to get together. And so we made a record to send to each of them and also to other relatives, in which the family sang Christmas carols, read the Christmas, one read the Christmas gospel, and gave it to them. And then it became a Christmas gift to our family. Later on, we surprised these two who are now grown up and parents themselves by playing it at Christmas time a couple of years ago.
Up there, please.
Yeah, I always used to have trouble with Mother's Day and Father's Day, especially because my parents are in their 60s and retired, and they really don't have any specific needs of, you know, clothing or that kind of thing. And hit upon the idea this year, wrote poems to both of them, telling them about the memories that I had as a child, the things I remembered. Not so much like the trips to Disneyland, that kind of thing, but more the things I remember them doing, like hugging me goodnight, reading nighttime stories, things that happen on a continual basis that give me fond memories of my parents.
Someone else? Yes.
One year I received the book Leaves of Gold, mm-hmm. Brent, I don't know how many of you know of it, but it was a beautiful leather-bound book, and when I opened the cover on this very gold page, she had written a note that she had given this book to her mother the year, or the Christmas before she died, of which Kathy was only 20 when her mother died of cancer, and it had been her mother's favorite book, so now she wanted to give it to me that Christmas, mm-hmm. and that was difficult to receive.
Something along that line. My kids have kind of got away from store-bought and stuff and try to originate stuff to sell for Christmas. My one son tanned a deer hide that I'd shot the deer of. Mm-hmm. Gave it to me last Christmas. And he tanned it himself, you know, with the pole and stuff. And then my daughter, I like cross-country work, and she fixed me up a pair of leggings. Mm. And my other son painted a picture for me. And I think these handworks themselves really fit in.
Thank you.
Elmer?
Yes.
I come from a large family, and a couple of Christmases ago, my mother took cartoons from magazines, cut them out, and put them on construction paper, made sort of mats out of it, and got a bulletin board for each one of us. And so we have a variety. We gave extra cartoons to each one of us. So now we have a bulletin board in our house that has cartoons on, and I can change them every so often. Whenever people come over, they look at it and they think it's really a neat idea.
He's quite regularly, and he's been quite happy with being able to get shaped.
Fran gave me a AAA card one time because I'm alone and she always worries about me. And I thought that was the neatest gift. I just loved her for it.
Yes? Please, yes.
One of the gifts I enjoyed giving most was over the years, as my children matured, I had pictures that I took of them and devoted two pages to these pictures so that there was a two-page spread for each year of the children's growing up period. And it was fun to present it to them at 18 or 19. Mm. I no longer wanted to have the responsibility of the book.
He
didn't really either, but it was a beautiful gift to be able to give.
Very good. Yes?
That reminds me, one year, a friend of mine was a photographer, and this couple had heard me talk about my great-grandfather a lot, and I had just known him when I was small, and they checked with my mother and found a small photograph of me with him when I was like 3 or 4, just a couple years before he died. His friend blew it up and mounted it on wood, so it's just lovely, keeps it.
Thank you.
Which reminds me of an aunt of mine, an aunt if you're from certain parts of the state. This last year had collected for her grandchildren, and then the nieces and nephews also got in on it, pictures of our ancestors, grandparents and great-grandparents, a wedding picture and one for later on if she had it, and had duplicates made. They weren't too expensive when she had it like that. And then she wrote down her memories of her parents, which would be my grandparents, and her grandparents, my great-grandparents, and that's really a treasure for all of us.
True.
Her mention of her aunt reminded me of this last Christmas. I, just before Christmas, had entered a recipe contest in our local newspaper, and entered a recipe that my aunt had gotten from her. It's a simple recipe, but it has a fascinating name, Rip Dum Doodle. It won third prize along with a $20 money prize. So that was my gift to her, the printed book with her recipe in it and the prize. She really appreciated it. She's 91.
Yes, John.
The matins this morning, Sue mentioned the alternate Christmas catalog or alternative Christmas catalog. I forget which term it uses. One of the things that hasn't been mentioned yet, the original idea of that alternative was not only our gift giving being simpler or homemade or not so much attached to the dollars spent, but an alternate way for those dollars to go to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That the catalog, if you look through it, are agencies and charities and people-oriented mm-hmm. ministries that need some money. And the first year, Bob Kuchisky put that together, and one of the churches near us, Dumbarton Methodist Church in Georgetown in Washington, D.C., had a group of, I think it was a dozen or dozen and a half people who decided to have that kind of alternative Christmas, so that they gave gifts to one another that did not cost so much money, and I think those few families had about $2,000 that they then sent to some of those charities of their choice, which is an added dimension. The Roman Catholic bishop who just resigned recently from Spokane, the 74-year-old fellow who lived in a $4,000 house, and instead of the bishop's palace, and his house is about 42 degrees in the winter and evening. But anyway, he made a good point that some of the simplicity of lifestyle is a new way to save money instead of a new way to have to be able to be more generous to the poor. And part of alternative Christmas, I think, is to divert that money. That first catalog had that as a major theme.
We did that one year in our family. We always exchanged names in their family. And using that as an alternative Christmas catalog, when we exchanged names, we then sent the money to an agency, made a contribution in the name of the person whose name we received. So the whole family ended up sending to various countries.
Please.
Tomorrow out on the fairgrounds out here when we have different booths, I'm going to put this Christmas alternatives catalog that was just sent to us 3 days ago by a church in Tucson, Arizona, Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and I think it's LCA in Tucson. And their adult education committee put it out. It starts out with the question, why would anyone in the world want to change the way we celebrate Christmas? And it gives you a lot of reasons why we would like to do that. And then the table of contents says, how to use this catalog, celebrating, gift-giving, gift-making, gift-buying, and gifts to charities. And one of the things that I like about it is that they have a lot of self-help programs, very similar to alternatives catalog celebrations, like in Appalachia and in South Carolina and Poinania Farms. So if you want to give a gift, instead of just letting your Kmart people have the money, you might consider ordering pecans or patchwork quilts or stuffed dolls or wooden toys from groups that either import things directly from Latin America or that are help VISTA programs or self-help programs right here in the United States, where all of the money goes directly to the people like in Appalachia that make the toy, that make the garment, and some of the clothes are just delightful and the products are excellent. Anyway, you can write for a copy of this. It's $1.50, and I'll have the order blank out there if anybody would be interested. It's called Christmas Alternatives Catalog.
Thank you. Yes.
One thing that our church has done, we have a lot of women in our church that are very handy with needlework and, you know, homemade type crafts. And so we've been able to organize something that we've called World Hunger Crafts, where the church, through donations from the members, supplies the materials. The women do all of the labor, and then we sell these at Christmas bazaars. And all the money then goes to World Concern in Seattle. And what's the other one?
Lutheran World Relief?
Right.
No, Lutheran Hunger Relief. And we pass out literature in the mall.
It's not only the fact that we're able to donate the money, but also we hope to be making the community aware of the World Hunger.
Thank you. Someone else?
Over.
Yes?
So we gave my parents tickets for them and some friends of theirs to a concert, and they thought they were going to, which was away from home, which was at my house in Milwaukee, where the concert was in Milwaukee. They thought they were just going to be coming down to spend the weekend with me, but the real gift was then we had the whole family. My brothers and sisters came, and they were also present for this. We had a little Christmas then at that time. So I'm guaranteed at least 3 Christmases this year.
Our church has a large Christmas card in the narthex where we're encouraged to sign and then make a donation which goes to one of our missions. Each year it's selected. The money that you would have spent on sending Christmas cards to those in the congregation, you are encouraged to give instead to this fund. I think a lot of people aren't planning really to give Christmas cards to people in the congregation, but they still contribute toward it, and it's a nice idea.
Our kids are older now, and by no means do we have what anybody could call a simplified lifestyle, but when they were younger, we did often the, what I assume a lot of people have done, the secret pals during the weeks of Advent, so that you had things done for yourself and never knew who it was, and big fat guessing games about who was your secret pal this week, and with 7 of us on, we could switch around. We did that all during Advent, and then we would, you know, share what had happened. It's amazing how many things you can do for people that they don't notice.
That was fun. Now we've come to the point where I'm older, where I think, I never know, with families, you've got to be careful. We just don't give any gifts anymore. And it's a delight. We're open to spontaneous. If somebody wants to, there's no rules or any of that, and we don't get together necessarily at Christmas time. There are times when we try to get together. But it seems to go through that whole season without even having to be bugged by any of that. You have to be free if there was something to do. With some of those funds, we have been able to give more to some of our favorite places of need. But then we also make a point to use some of that to get together with some people that ordinarily won't get together with. Often with folks who are in need of having some friendship like that. Or we'll invite a bunch of people to come to a St. Olaf concert who don't get to hear good music once in a while, and St. Olaf, the Norwegians bring all the good music in Chicago. Especially, again, friends of ours who are, whether it's the widowed or aged and whatever it may be. So we've been spending some money that way. But it seems to be relieved. At least it is for us. What the kids are in now is what Mary was saying. Mom, can we have this part of the house that we, you know, spend here for 20 some years, we'd like to have that. And if that happens, that's great, because we're trying to get rid of stuff.
And something about that his love would last as long as it took the tree to grow. Well, it takes a spruce tree, I don't know how many years, to germinate. Anyway, we moved to Holden right after I planted the seeds, and so I don't know, I'm sure without being watered, you know, nothing. I needed to go back to West Virginia and plant the rest of my new spruce trees. I was really touched by a package of blue spruce trees. In fact, I didn't know you could buy blue spruce.
You gotta be a tough old husband. Please.
We have friends who know us well enough to give us this gift. I think it was on a weekend, December 13th, that they knocked on our door about 6:30 in the morning, and their daughter was dressed in white. She had a crown of candles on her head, lighted, and so we went to the door, and they came in then with hot rolls and coffee and a thermos.
In silver.
And we put on our bathrobes and came out and enjoyed breakfast.
Yes, listen. Specifically, I was just talking about celebrating the season somewhat differently. As with a lot of places, we've in our congregation been more conscious of the long season of celebration, starting at First Advent and going through Epiphany. Mm-hmm. And often, while we always save gifts for Epiphany, mm-hmm. within the congregation, we give it to one another. One of the traditions that's been very meaningful over the years for us have been the Advent evenings, which are actually a Saturday night. It's really actually a party. But every Saturday night in Advent, we get together as a congregation and have an Advent evening. And it's a collection of things. Some people might be sitting there writing letters. Mm-hmm. Others might be making Christmas ornaments. Someone's going to be a group out in the kitchen doing some baking. Someone else, two or three people, will be singing Christmas carols. It's just really a delightful way to share community and Advent. And you have a real sense of the season if you start being together every Saturday night in Advent and celebrating and then end up in Epiphany with some gift giving. Someone else?
I remember when my daughter was three, I decided that, you know, Santa Claus was out, and I too openly fought against him. And on the way downhill in the car one time, she said, "The most important thing about Christmas is Santa Claus, not Jesus." And I felt really bad, and I thought, the next year I've got to do something different, because I was too anti, you know, how you can get real cleaned up about something. And so we tried really hard to make Advent tonight. And the congregation got together, and we made Advent logs together. And we wrote a book, and we were all worshiping together. And sometimes the children would even say things together. And trying really hard to make Advent, just lots and lots and lots of fun, letting the children light the candles and just singing a song together. And they got so excited about that last year that they forgot about Santa Claus pretty much. And we just called it the Santa Claus game, and we filled each other's stockings, and it was much more positive, and everything was much more fun.
Connie, when my children were young, when we still use it, we have an Advent calendar. I made it out of colored burlap, and it has pockets for every day in Advent. And in the pocket, there's a Christmas carol. We light our Advent candles, and we have our devotions, and then they go to the Advent calendar that I made, and in the pocket is a little gift for them. You know, it's some Christmas goodie of some kind, and a song, and then they take the Christmas goodie out of that pocket for that day. And they loved that. on the first Sunday night of Advent this year, we had in our congregation a sharing of our Advent wreaths, and the family brought their own Advent wreaths since we were putting them out anyway. And we had the first Sunday of Advent worship together at the congregation, and that was really nice. Was it also interesting to see all the varieties of Advent wreaths that people had?
But Gethsemane Church in Portland does something like what she was talking about in Nancy's church earlier this evening. But they spent $500 and bought all kinds of craft materials and called upon the gifts of the people within their congregation who could teach everything from quilting to candle making to leaded glass work, whatever it was. They had something like 1,500 to 2,000 people from the community that came in. And what impressed them most was that they didn't have to pay for anything. It was simply a free gift, no strings attached, from Gethsemane Lutheran Church to the community. And people came, and again, they had wandering minstrels that walked around the people in the congregation that played instruments and sang. But when they didn't even have to put a dime in for the cup of coffee or the krumkaka or whatever it was that they were demonstrating making and simply giving away, they've done this 3 years in a row, and the community just can't believe that a group of people is willing to share that much with them, you know, both
wow.
with their time and gifts and talents and the money, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of died down on Christmas giving, but a gift that was very, very meaningful, and which is a giving of oneself and one's gift to another. When June and I traveled during the year that we had a leave of absence and spent a lot of time overseas, we carried along an antique portable typewriter, and every week we sent home a letter that we typed with carbon, one to her family, one to my family, and the one in her family was passed around to everyone and eventually ended up at her cousin's in California, who is a legal secretary. And she got tired of trying to read these aerograms without paragraphs and scribble in here and the carbon pour and the bouncy bus and all this stuff. So she decided she was going to start typing some of them over so it'd be easier to read. Well, she didn't know what she was in for because this went on for a whole year, but she stuck with it. And when we came home, we each were presented with typewritten size paper, legal secretary form, all indexed according to whether it was Europe, the Mideast, Nepal, Africa. Two copies of them, beautifully done in the paragraphs and margins and all. Not only that, we checked with one carbon copy of the letter that we had always kept to see which didn't ever get home, and there were only three or four that never reached the state, and so we still had the copy, so she even did those.
Anyone else?
A gift I received once that was really neat was from an older couple who's in their 60s, and they gave me a gift of one free night of babysitting for a month, for, you know, 1 month, one night every month for a year.
Mm. Wow.
And my children loved it too because they love older people. Mm-hmm. That was really neat. Mm-hmm.
I try to enjoy the ones that go on for a year, I think. Not just personally, but I think that I like to see things that can perpetuate and last. That's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. Once a month, get together for coffee with someone,
mm-hmm.
or call somebody on the phone, and kind of start to all those kind of things that you bring up, relax, and change your
behavior. That's a neat gift to give for the shower gift. You know, so many coupons for babysitting, so many evenings.
Yes, over here, please.
Oh, 1 year for Thanksgiving, I got the idea that, I think I read it someplace that the Sunday school teacher was telling about her experience of a student finally coming back and telling her what the years in her class had meant for this person, and the woman was so appreciative, and I realized often the people who give us the greatest gifts never hear about what they've done for us. So I made a noble gesture. I didn't complete it, but I thought the idea was good. No.
Yes.
As a former school teacher who used to get lots of bottles of cologne and similar things at the end of the school year, my son was in kindergarten this year, and at the end of the school year, instead of giving, his teacher ended up with about 35 plants, but instead of doing something similar, we gave a gift to the school in honor of that teacher for her year's service, and made a little cover that said to that effect that the gift was being given to the school in honor of that teacher.
Yes.
A suggestion, if you're looking for a place to honor somebody, is to give a gift to your church library or hold a library too. But sometimes, something that has the inscription that's in honor of that person, and that person may enjoy knowing that that book is in the library.
I was in a group, small group, one year, when just before Christmas we found addresses for various city council people and representatives and so forth, and wrote, you can choose one, and wrote a thank you letter to them. Probably shocked them to death. But it was really nice to do.